Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Thanksgiving. When you were younger, just cast your mind back to this. When you were younger, did your mom ever say to you, "What on earth are you doing?" Yeah, my mom used to say, "What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake?" And that's my question for you this morning. What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? And we're going to think a little bit about that question and maybe some things to answer that question. I'm just also reminded that this is our last Sunday of exploring, well, not our last Sunday of exploring it, but in a series exploring our vision, which is to grow in faith, to live out God's purposes for us, to make Christ known in the world, and to raise up the next generation to love and serve the Lord. And we've been exploring different parts of that through the words of worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. And today we're going to speak a little bit about evangelism. So as we begin on this Thanksgiving weekend, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for all of the ways that you bless us. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, we think especially of all of the bounty we have in Canada, all that you've given us, all that you've asked us to share. And we pray that you'll help us to remember how blessed we are and to think on ways that we might be a blessing to others. Be with us now as we meet in your name, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's interesting about bread, and just the symbolism of bread and how it feeds us, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, in every way that we need, if you get the right kind of bread. There's a lot of bread on the market, but there's only one true bread. And Jesus is the bread of life. And he says that pretty plainly. And he says, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. But you know, there's a lot of people who are hungry out there. And we're thinking about this Thanksgiving and all through this series that we're talking about our vision. We're thinking about that bread that can really, truly feed everybody. And I'm going to say this again. I know I said at the beginning of the service, the vision of St. Michael's Church is to grow in faith, to live out God's purpose for us, to make Christ known in the world, and to raise up the next generation to love and serve the Lord. And those purposes within the vision are those that I said earlier, stumblingly at first: worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. And today we're going to talk about the fifth one of those, which is evangelism. And lots of people don't like that word, evangelism. Lots of people think that is the most scary word in the entire Bible. John 20, 21 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." And that has to do with our purpose, isn't it? That has to do with why we're here. That has to do with the reason God called St. Michael's Church into existence, or St. George's Church, or Trinity Church. We're called for a purpose, and that is that we're followers of Christ, and Christ says to us, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And he didn't mean just the disciples 2,000 years ago. I used to get off with that, you know. I used to think, well, that was back then. This is now. But actually, this call is for us today. What are we being sent to do? Paul is pretty specific about that when he writes in Acts 20, "The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work the Lord Jesus gave me to do, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you," Jesus says. And Paul says, "I remember Jesus talking about that, and here's what we're supposed to be doing, to tell people the good news about God's grace." And our fifth purpose is to share the good news. And there's a word for that, and it's that word you don't like to hear, evangelism. The evangel is just a Greek word that means good news. that shouldn't be so scary, should it? The evangelist, good news. An evangelist is somebody who tells you good news. Hey, I've got really good news. I've got a coupon. We can go out for pizza for free. Hey, that's good news. Hey, I know where there's some bread. I know you're all hungry. Here's some bread. I've got a coupon. You can cash it in at church. You can find out about that bread. That's all that it means. It's good news. And the Bible says that once I know the good news, that God loves me, that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, that God wants me to pass this on. Somebody once defined evangelism as one beggar telling another beggar where to find food or bread. Then we know that one more aspect of the purpose of your life and my life is to share that good news. Like, don't you like telling good news? Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's Jesus said that. Jesus spoke those words into the early church in Jerusalem. And now, 2,000 years later, they're still in effect. He spoke those words sort of at the epicenter of Christian faith. And that sort of reverberates out across the whole world. And he says that you are to be witnesses. So what's a witness? My son once was working in a 7-Eleven store in a not very good area of another city. And somebody came in and demanded cash. So he gave him the cash. But while he was doing all that, he remembered what this guy looked like. How tall is he? What was he wearing? What color was his hair and his eyes? Was he wearing glasses or not? He was a witness to this event that happened. So when the police came, not many minutes later, he was able to be a witness and say, this is what this guy looked like. Yes, he had a balaclava, but he was this tall and he was a big guy and he was wearing this kind of a coat. So he was able to tell and be a witness. And you're to be a witness, not of a robbery, but of a gift, the gift of Christ, and what that means in your life, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus refers to as a gift, and the power that that gives you, and the ability to understand that that gives you, that you might share this good news with other people. You're a witness to all that's happening in your life. That's what you're called to be a witness to all the good things that are happening in your life, and that you might share that with somebody else. You're an expert on your life, and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit that's been poured out in love and kindness and forgiveness and power on you. And nobody can be a better witness of what's happened in your life than you. So the next verse says, God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord, was that all people everywhere might know of his great love and mercy and be transformed by God's amazing love. This is an amazing part. God has chosen us, chosen you, chosen me to tell others about this amazing thing. That's the very beginning of Christianity too, isn't it? The angels come out and they proclaim, hey, the Savior is born to you this day in Bethlehem. He is Christ the Lord. And you can tell about your side of that story. God is in heaven, and the angel comes up to God and says, my plan, this is just a story that I heard, sorry. God is in heaven, and an angel comes up to God and says, my plan is to give the good news to my children on earth and to share it with them. And the angel says, that's great, but what if they don't? What's plan B? And God says, there is no plan B. This is the plan. He sent Jesus that we might know the good news, that we might be changed from the inside out, that we might be empowered to live life to its fullest, and that we might share how to do that. You are plan A and plan B and all the other plans you want to think of. That's the plan. We are at to tell others the good news, and it's the greatest privilege you'll ever be given. When I was 6 years old, my brother was just about to turn 8, And my mom sent us out with a fistful of invitations to tell all the kids on the street, come to my brother's birthday party. And I went with him, and we were just so excited that we were going to have this party. You know, it's going to be wonderful. And we were given these invitations out, and it was inviting people to come. And we just were so excited about all of this. That's what evangelism is. It's inviting somebody to come to this party. Who doesn't like a party? Jesus invites people to come to the feast. He uses that imagery about the banquet in heaven. He tells us to invite everybody, the poor, the sick, those without hope, everybody. And he invites those who are tired out by life. You maybe know some of those people. Maybe sometimes you feel that way yourself. And Jesus says, come to my party, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God says, I just want you to share this. There's good news. Like, people read the newspapers, listen to people on the radio or television or on the internet. People are worn out. People are saying, there is no hope. I give up. People are saying, I'm not even going to vote. That's how much I think there's no hope. But you have the hope inside of you. You have hope. That's something many people don't have. You have bread for life. So what do? 1 Peter chapter 3. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have within you. You don't have to study theology or the four spiritual laws or know all the names of God and go to university for 18 years or whatever you want to do. You don't have to do all that. You just need to be ready at all times to tell anybody who asks you to explain this hope that you have within you. Examine your life. Think about why you believe and what you believe. Think about what God's done in your life. Think about why your Heavenly Father is so important to you. And think of some ways you might have to be able to say why you believe in God, how God helped you, how God answered a prayer, how somebody else prayed for you. Like, there's, I can think of so many different things where I'm so grateful to God because of what God has done. Just the fact that I'm here with you. And another way to say this is to be a witness to the truth about your relationship with God and to tell others about the hope, because he doesn't want everybody to be lost and feeling hopeless. He wants you to walk alongside of them. And that's a heart and life-changing idea, that you, knowing God, knowing Christ, having hope, knowing love, might walk alongside somebody else who doesn't know that, who doesn't feel that hope. Our vision, our prayer, is to grow in faith, to live out God's purpose for us, to make Christ known in the world, and to raise up the next generation. And somebody said to me the other day, well, Howard, we're not just interested in young people. The next generation is not just young people. The next generation is anybody who's not in here now. Anybody who doesn't know the love of Christ, that's the next generation. To allow them in, to welcome them in, to be inviting. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism, telling people the good news. You might have wondered before, what is the church for? What does it do? It does a lot of things, but what's it supposed to be doing? What's God called us to do? This coming weekend, we're having a stay-at-home retreat. I don't mean stay in your own home. I mean come to this home, this house. And it begins on Friday, the 18th of October at 7 o'clock. And Bishop Greg Kerwilson is going to try to be here, and so are a few other people from the diocese. And so it begins at 7. Please come. Did you all get an invitation again today? Yes? Yes, good. Well, I wonder, Roger doesn't have anything to do at the end of the service. So he's going to stand at the back of the church and ask you, can you come and let us know for sure so that we can make more of our plans more solid? So please come to this retreat. And it continues on Saturday morning at 9:30. And we're hoping that Brother Jason Carell, who's now a part of the diocese mission team, is going to be there. Sean Krausert is going to be at all of it. And lots of other people who will be here. So just please come and be a part of this. Please sign up. And think about, what on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? This is my challenge to you. Just join me for a season of invitation. So, we are a welcoming church, yes? Do you think we're welcoming?
Yes.
Yeah, we welcome people when they come through the door. We say, we're glad you're here. Come on in. Here's a prayer book. Here's a hymn book. We don't have kneelers to hand out. But yeah, come on in. We're glad you're here. And that's great. But we want to not just be welcoming. We want to be an inviting church. And there's a difference. A welcoming church is welcoming people as they come in through the door. An inviting church is
asking
people to come on in, saying, hey, I'm going to church next Sunday. Want to come with me? You should. Our minister is crazy, but but you might like him. We sing some songs and we have a good time. We pray. We talk about things that sometimes really matter deeply. We find God's presence in our lives. Come, try this out. We want to be inviting, not just welcoming. We want to ask people, oh, hey, you know what? On the 1st of November, we're having a Raise the Roof concert at the Senior Center. It starts at 7 o'clock. Why don't you come? I'd like to invite you. The ticket price is $45, but that's okay. Just invite people to come to different things that are going on. Come to Raise the Roof. Come to church. Come to Monday evening dinner, and I'll join you. And we can talk a little bit about this God thing. To just be able to invite people is so important. And you know what? What they say in answer? No, I don't want to come. That's not a failure. The success is just asking. The other part, how they answer, that's up to God. The only thing you need to do is ask. Hey, do you want to go with me to my home group? Do you want to go with me somewhere else? What do you want to do? Be inviting. Invite other people to share in this incredible journey that you're on. Okay, I think I've said enough about that, and we'll talk more about that another time, except I have one other piece of homework for you. This week, all week, ask God to give you the name of somebody that you would like to invite. Maybe you're afraid to do it too, but just to ask God to give you that name. You don't have to actually ask them this week. Just ask God to say, you know, Lord, is there somebody I should be asking, inviting, to come to church, to come to something, to have a chat? Who should I talk to? Try that, would you? Let's pray. Father, we're asking this question. It's a tough one. What on earth am I doing, for heaven's sake? And you've called us to be people that worship you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've called us to be disciples, people learning to be more and more like Christ. You've called us into fellowship. That's part of the reason we're here too, is that we might enjoy a relationship of love between you and one another. You've called us to ministry, that we might serve other people, that we might demonstrate your amazing love by acts of ministry. And you've called us to be inviting, to share some good news. And we just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds that we might think more and more about these things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.